I was invited recently with four other people to take part in preparation for a BBC broadcast. And for 3/4 hour, we were interviewed and asked to discuss the questions that are now being asked on a very wide scale in this country about the spiritual life. And the interviewer said, "I'm not concerned with ecclesiasticism as such. The church clearly has an important part in all this, but the church is part of what is happening, and only part. The consensus of opinion, although there was diversity of interpretation because it involved two priests, a baronet and a professor of theology from one of our universities, the consensus of opinion, in spite of diversity of interpretation and understanding, was that something tremendous is happening. 10 years ago, this would have been a non-question, what is happening. Today, it speaks immediately. And all were agreed that questions are being asked. Now, you've heard me say before, but I'll say it again. We clergy are so conditioned that we spend a great time and a great part of our ministry answering questions that people are not asking. Now, not only clergy are conditioned thus, but so many so-called Christians. And the whole question of what constitutes a Christian is something we ought to be asking questions about. So many Christians are so conditioned that all they do when asked a question, or when they think they hear a question, is reach into the pigeonhole in the back of the mind to see if something was put there by somebody else some time ago. The answer should be there somewhere. I remember somebody gave it to me. I read a book once. We're so blocked off that all we can do is reach into pigeonholes. Now, we can only hear questions if we ourselves can hear the questions that are being asked within. And you see, here we are dealing with the laws of life, spiritual laws, and the good book, the New Testament, is full of them. But we've been inoculated against perceiving them and getting into touch with them because we've had so much scripture hurled at us Sunday by Sunday by Sunday, we can no longer hear the scriptures. The dynamic is lost. And we project into the scriptures what we have been told in the past, what we have read about the scriptures, what we think we ought to think about the scriptures, and we cannot hear. We are deaf. We have eyes and we see not. We have ears and we hear not. Now, how do we break through all this? We start with the disciplines of hearing the questions that are operating within ourselves. Now, I want to read to you two passages of Scripture that articulate what happens when we create space in order to hear questions. And the first is found in St. Paul's letter to the Christians at Corinth, but forget where it's found, that is a complete irrelevance. It's to do with the spirit of man. Among men, who knows what a man is, but the man's own spirit within him? In the same way, only the Spirit of God knows what God is. This is the spirit that we have received from God, and not the spirit of the world, so that we may know all that God of his own grace gives us. There is the spirit of man, a spirit of man that is incessantly speaking. This is what St. Paul is getting at. This spirit of man often is chattering all the time. It chatters on the level of the intellect, and it chatters and protests on the level of emotions. And so often we call this prayer. This isn't prayer. This is chattering in the presence of God. And gets no further than the top of my head. It's the wail from man. Now, there is something we have to get to beyond all that, and you don't get to it easily. You have to learn how to get behind the chattering of the intellect, behind the demands of the emotions, to another place, to hear another voice. And this is what meditation is all about. It is this, nothing more, nothing less, than trying to create a space in which to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, and to discover the questions. Now listen to another passage from St. Paul in his letter to the Christians at Rome. We do not know how we ought to pray. That's not given to the spirit of man at all. But through our inarticulate groans, the Spirit himself is pleading for us, and God, who searches our inmost being, knows what the Spirit means, because he pleads for God's own people in God's own way. There is the voice of the Spirit speaking within the people. There is this uprising from within. It isn't coming down from up there. It's coming from within. But it doesn't come in terms of visions and ecstasies. They may be there. It comes when we follow the straight path of a hard, unromantic discipline. It's easy, isn't it? Is it? No? It's time congregations got out of the way of being talked to and talked back. It'd be nothing more healthy than for you to answer me and say, we don't agree. But don't do it this morning, there isn't time. The Spirit helpeth us. The Spirit is there within. And when we hear him within, suddenly, like the sound of mighty waters and rushing, we hear it coming from all around us. We are here just a little within. Then we hear it in the congregation. Then we hear it in the crowds. Then we hear it in politics. Then we hear it in economics. Then we hear it in what is happening on the whole world scene. And we hear something tremendous is happening. Now don't get excited, because if you're not careful, you move quickly over to the spirit of man and get blocked off by the emotions. It's wonderful, it's exciting, and it's our prerogative and privilege now, before it is too late. And I'm not being apocalyptic, but before it is too late. Let us be still together and listen.